This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msbnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
That brings us to today's edition of Five Thought-Provoking Questions, penned by Pat Smith. This is what we call Pat Ponders.
I want to know what you're thinking. Tell me what's on your mind.
It's time for Pat Ponders.
It's brought to you by Alabama Roofing Professionals. The weather's nice, but we've got rain in the forecast coming up over the weekend. How about the free roof inspection? How about the blow-in insulation service they offer? Honest, trustworthy company. They're not going to steer you wrong. We wouldn't recommend them if they would. Alabama Roofing Professionals. ALRoofPros.com, 205-722-ROOF.
All right, fellas, question number one. Tiger Woods has earned a record $121 million in his career on the PGA Tour, $29 million more than the second most, which is Phil Mickelson, at $92 million. You guys want to take a crack at who is third all-time in PGA money winnings?
Tiger, Phil, and this is just on course, correct?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
I'm going to say Fred Couples.
Okay, how about you?
Not a ton of wins, but longevity and being in contention a lot, I feel like, would put him there.
Hmm.
But then you think some of the money that the new guys are making.
I know.
Like, who plays the most out of the new guys?
I will give you this hint. You didn't say him, and I'll give Langham a hint here. Coming in at number five is Dustin Johnson at $71 million.
Yeah. So I saw go Rory.
I feel like of that new group, he almost plays more than on some of the other ones.
I'll go Rory at number three.
Okay. At number three, Jim Furyk.
That makes sense.
Number four, Vijay Singh. Number five,
I was going to say Vijay.
Dustin Johnson.
You didn't tell me we were counting Champions Tour earnings.
VJ has never met a tournament he didn't like. That guy will play anywhere.
Which is incredible, Tiger. Because his, if you've ever read about his regimen.
Oh, it's crazy.
I mean, that guy pounds more balls than anybody. I mean, he goes out there and he'll hit balls for hours after a round. So the sustainability to be able to go out and play at a high level still is just wild.
Tiger Woods has $29 million more money made on the course than Phil Mickelson, who comes in at $92 million.
Who would you say is second, because it's not even a debate of who has made more off the course? Just off the top of your head, I don't know the answer, so it's not going to be right or wrong. Who's made second most in endorsements ever in the PGA Tour?
See, that's got to be... It's got to be, I'd say, Phil as well, right?
What commercial have you seen him in?
There's all those pharmaceuticals.
Well, that's the watch sponsorships.
Those are his investment tie-ins over out, and he's got going.
I feel like.
But, like, for instance, take Jack Nicklaus. Service. Jack Nicklaus has made all his money in course design.
Right, but he's still doing a Rolex commercial.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jackson a lot. Arnold Palmer did a lot, but I don't think.
Yeah, he did a ton.
I mean, you could probably have. I mean, some of these guys are probably making more in 1 year just off their on-course sponsorships than those guys made in their careers.
Yeah. Greg Norman clothing, so.
Greg Norman would probably be my number two combined overall, of just other things that he got into. And what he's been able to make, but I'm just thinking, who is the second most marketed PGA star that would end up number two on that money list?
It's a great question.
Hmm.
Maybe a future Pat Ponders. I had to look into that. Because when I started putting this together, you could have knocked me over with a feather when I saw that it was Jim Furyk. No idea. I would have gone, like Cole mentioned, you know, someone that had played for a very, very long time, because obviously the purse money now is much higher than it was,
sure,
you know, 20 years ago. So, but anyway. All right, question number two. hear me out here before you start saying no. Just listen to this full Pat Ponder's question. If you're the Texans, would you consider this trade for Deshaun Watson from Carolina? Carolina would send Christian McCaffrey, wide receiver Robbie Anderson, defensive end Brian Burns, quarterback Teddy Bridgewater,
God,
the first round of the 2021 draft, and the first round for 2022 for Deshaun Watson.
Now,
I'm saying the Texans, this is being offered to you by Carolina. Would you, as the Texans GM, would you take that deal?
Absolutely. Yes.
I mean, I would call Elon Musk or Virgin Records guy and get their moon rocket and get me over there as fast as humanly possible to sign it now.
Yes.
Like, what is the fastest method of signature that you will accept and get this done today?
We get all of that for a quarterback who has publicly stated he doesn't want to be here? If I'm the Texans?
What if Carolina just offered Christian McCaffrey and one first round pick? Would you still do it?
If I'm the Texans or if I'm...
If you're the Texans.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so.
We just saw Le'Veon Bell sit out a whole year.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are in a completely different place these days. And if he doesn't want to play there, he's not going to play there. You're not going to make him go play there. You aren't. That doesn't happen anymore. Disgruntled player who's coming back to play one more year on franchise tag, that's not the norm anymore. These guys are going to find other ways around it. And if you can get the best player in the NFL for your quarterback... Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I would have probably told you just do it for that, straight up.
One for
because what's the market value other places? And if nobody else is willing to put up some sort of ridiculous booty for you to trade with and come get it done, then no. I take the best player in the NFL, or the most versatile, or however you want to state it. One of the best players in the NFL. Yeah, I'd get that done. Because I can build my offense around him with less of a quarterback because of what he does out of the backfield.
All right, question number three. Same kind of theme here, NFL potential draft. In the last 20 years, the Falcons have drafted two quarterbacks in the first round. Michael Vick in 2000 and, of course, Matt Ryan back in 2008. So my question is, should the Falcons take Justin Fields this year or should they trade back just to pick up more picks in the draft?
Yes, take Justin Fields.
Trade back. You have a roster that is capable of making a move right now. And we can say Matt Ryan is not elite, he's not great, he's not Super Bowl caliber, but at least you know what he is. And I've said before, I think there's a big question mark on Justin Fields, so there's a good chance you're going backwards at quarterback if you do that. Most likely going backwards for a year anyway. So now you're stripping the greatest receiver in the game another year of having the opportunity to go to the postseason and maybe make a run. I think you go with proven commodity now and maybe try to get a pick or two late of other guys who can come in and help you win now. And maybe, we've talked about this division is being overhauled outside of Tampa, and how much longer is that going to last? And if Brady goes one more year, okay, boom, there's your window the year after that. Should still be able to have that roster in place.
Yeah. I mean, the Saints, Breeze nearing retirement, Michael Thomas. I mean, knows where he's going to be. Seems like that thing's kind of fading too. So, no, I'm with Cole there. Absolutely.
As a Saints fan, all the more reason why I want the Falcons to draft Justin Fields, because I'm not that sold on him as a QB, at least in those first several years. So, the Saints, if they can get good quarterback play, they can be right there. Let's not forget the Saints without Drew Brees are 9-1 the last 2 years. So they are similar to Indianapolis in that if they can get a good quarterback in there, they can be right back in the hunt of things. So I don't need Atlanta coming up as well. It looks like Tampa's not going anywhere. So yeah, I would want the Falcons to draft Justin Fields because I see them floundering with him, at least for the next several years.
All right, question number four. What was the absolute worst sports facility you've ever been to?
I can't. I'm trying to stay out of trouble on the air, so I'm just going to skip this one. But it is in the state of Alabama. I will say the broadcast booth in Lafayette, Louisiana is very close. The wooden built in the stands of the stadium outside the press box painted black for on summer days to be extra hot with a window unit is not overly comfortable.
See, I didn't know. I wasn't going to like try to throw Cole under the bus and expect him to say an SEC school or another major college, but maybe even if it was a high school.
I will say
facility,
this. My first 2 years of college, it was our home locker room at Jordan-Hare Stadium.
Was it really?
Oh, God. Ask Rob tomorrow about our locker room when he got there.
All right.
Had to sign a waiver just because of all the staff just floating around in there. All the mold, asbestos. It's a high school. Press box.
And you might not want to say it because I'm not going to.
Made out of plywood and had a common toilet.
Hey, Cole, he's protecting that bowling gig for next year. You didn't want to make sure he doesn't say something bad about a school getting bad graces.
A common toilet, guys. No stall or anything. Located at the end of the press box.
The bathroom stalls at Jordan-Hare Stadium in our home locker room when I first got to Auburn did not have doors. To the toilets. Not to the urinals, the toilets. Mm-hmm. I want you to think about
this. This one didn't even have
85
like
guys
side
for
barriers.
Game.
Oh, you.
What was the point of not having doors?
You go after the guy that doubled up in the pregame meal?
Oh. I'm just saying, I don't know. Ask Rob tomorrow. I'm telling you, it was. We couldn't believe it.
Can we get a plunger?
But it's when they redid it, it was really nice, and then I think they've redone it three times since then, and it's incredible now.
Those kids today, they're
so amazing
spoiled.
Now. No, it's just it's beautiful now what they've done. Absolutely.
All right, fifth and final question. Would you guys rather swim fast like Michael Phelps did in his prime or run faster than Usain Bolt in his prime?
Run faster.
Faster. Yeah. Yeah.
I think you can be it's hard because Michael Phelps is he's pretty world-renowned. He's pretty big-time. But I think that the ceiling for stardom is greater as a sprinter than a swimmer, in my opinion. And growing up, how many times were you walking around on a summer afternoon and challenged a dude to a race in a pool?
Right.
That's true.
Like, how many parking lots were you in when guys said, I don't know, but if you can find a pool, I bet I can smoke you in the butterfly. Just find it. Like a day at the lake. And like, who wants to freestyle out to the buoy? Well, it doesn't really happen. So I feel like you could have a lot more fun with being that fast.
Yeah. And, think about it. If you're that fast, try your hand at other sports, right?
Yeah. Be more versatile.
If you can halfway catch, Cole.
I know, but I would say no because you don't want to risk it. Think about it. All you do is run straight. That's it. Unless you want to be like Michael Johnson and then put a little bit of a turn into it. You go from like 100 to 200. And that's all you do. So I don't know if I had legitimate global endorsement deals because of that, I'm not going to go out and try to play football or basketball or anything. I'm just going to be like, no, I'm just going to go run a straight line again, and you're going to give me checks. And I'm going to make the guy behind me look bad. That's it.
Yeah. And I think just everyday life, it would come into play a lot more than, being fast in a pool.
I mean, we had races in the parking lot of Sewell Hall every Friday and Saturday night, guys challenging each other. $20, $50, $100. Like, maybe almost every night, especially in the summer. So I just think about instances like that growing up, how much more fun it would be to just be able to dust somebody running than saying, well, if you ever catch me at the pool,
it's on.
All right, fellas, that's today's Pat Ponders.
Brought to you by Alabama Roofing Professionals, alroofpros.com.
This is Three Man Front.